This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Podzone Country, the Yorkshire Post political podcast. I'm Chris Byrne, the Yorkshire Post political editor, and today I'm joined by Bex Wyman, who is the Green Party candidate for the South Yorkshire mayoral election, which is just a few weeks away now. Bex is a full-time senior business analyst who says she wants to fight to reduce energy bills and emissions and create a Britain with absolutely no fracking, which is an issue that I'm really hoping to speak to her about, along with plenty of other things too. So hi, thanks so much for joining me today. Great to see you.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. So, Bex, could you tell me a little bit more, firstly, about yourself, also your current job, which sounds fascinating, and also how you ended up getting involved with the Green Party?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's quite a journey I've been on, really. So, as far as, you know, who I am, born and bred Yorkshire lass, to be honest. You know, I love Yorkshire. I love where I live. And I've actually sort of hopped around quite a few places, really. So I grew up in Winkerbank in Sheffield near Meadowhall. Then our family moved to Rotherham in Bramley when I was 13. And, you know, so I understand a lot about Sheffield and Rotherham. And then I have family in Barnsley, so we'd always go and visit my auntie in Barnsley. And my parents now live in Doncaster.
Ticking all the boxes, perfect. All four.
Completely self-conscious. But you can imagine just sort of having that sort of experience of, you know, the region. It really got me just interested in knowing about how to improve things and make them better. And actually, when it was when I was in Rotherham that I got most active, because I'm one of them people that are quite different in politics, as in I didn't used to vote.
Oh, really?
That will shock some people. Yeah, I didn't used to vote. And it came to a point where I just thought, I was talking to my sister and she was like, well, why, you know, why don't you vote? And I was like, because I feel like I would do more damage making a vote, because I don't understand what I'm voting for. I don't understand what all this is. So then she said, why don't you just read through the manifestos? So I think it was 2015. I did. I sat down, had plenty of coffee, and I read through every single manifesto. And I had an epiphany. I was like, huh, I'm a Green. So yeah, since then, I've just been on this journey of trying to make my life as green as possible. And actually, it's really difficult, and it should be so much easier. And the government has so much control on making that journey easier for people to be as green as possible. So, you know, it really should be the cheapest available.
So I'm super interested to learn a bit more about that. So what steps have you been taking or tried to take, and what kind of roadblocks have you found along the way in doing that?
Yeah, I mean, from lots of different areas, really. So if I take it as a political one and a personal one, perhaps, because they're two sure, very different beats. On a you know, a personal level, it was the small things, just like, well, where to shop that's the best, you know, trying to avoid the big supermarkets, and trying to move to a more sustainable diet. So there's lots of things like that in 2015 were a lot harder back then. And I think that there's this gradual movement that is taking traction now. You know, you can see lots more people being vegan. I am trying to be vegan. I struggle with cheese. It is my absolute favourite. I am trying lots of alternatives. And ultimately, it's just about getting out there and trying different things. And sharing that knowledge with other people.
Had you been a meat eater before 2015 and part of the political journey as well?
Absolutely. One of my favorite meals was steak. And, you know, I've sort of worked my way up to be in a position of privilege to be able to experience, you know, a life like that, mm-hmm. because I have come from, you know, poverty, basically, being a single parent for with my first child. And ultimately, I know what it's like when you're actually on the breadline. So I've got so much just heartfelt angst for the people that are going through that right now. You know, it's this time at the moment, especially with the budget that's just come out, it has not reached anything that we need to achieve to help people who are on the breadline and ultimately going under that at the minute. So so the journey to, as far as on a personal level, it's hard and it's costly, ultimately, to make the right choices for the planet. And so what I tried to do on the other side, on the political side, was actually vote in the right way to make sure that we can get those changes in the government rather than just on a personal level.
So what could the government be doing better? I guess more pertinently, maybe, is what could the mayor, kind of a mayoral role, what could that change in terms of helping that situation that you've just described?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, because a lot of, I mean, the first sort of three focuses that I've got as in the mayoral position is about transport, housing and skills. But actually, there's a lot underlying of that as well, with actually getting sustainable foods out there and just championing the right kinds of small businesses, and the right kinds of, you know, the way that supermarkets work. You can influence using your position as mayor to say, actually, all the food waste that you get from the supermarkets, what are you doing with that? You know, and just laying challenge to that, to say, surely there's a better way for you to, you know, approach that. I think it was Waitrose that had sort of hundreds and hundreds of this just food waste, and it could have gone, you know, to charities. It could have gone to all the, you know, the pop-up places that you've got now, where you can actually go and get some free food, which in 2015 and before that, for me, that just wasn't available back then. And the fact that that's needed now, it's such a big issue. So using that influence as the mayor to say, what are you doing with this waste? And obviously getting the right skills involved in the local businesses to encourage that and subsidize as well. There's a great shop near me called the Bear Alternative, and that's all about, you know, you can get all your lentils and everything there at zero waste, less packaging, but it is costly. So I wonder if we could actually subsidize some of that for the consumer. You know, I think that there's things like that we can do as in positions of power to encourage them.
Can I ask you, obviously the mayoralty is a huge role, absolutely huge role. Have you run for office before for the Greens?
It's the first sort of large role, because it's quite a large role. And actually, I just thought, time in my life right now, it's time to go for it. You know, what happened sort of at the beginnings of my political career was that I went to vote Green. So that was the first point, just voting Green. And there was nobody there for me to vote for. So I then said, OK, how do I make it so that I can vote Green next time? And I went out and I sought after the Sheffield Green Party, of which the Rotherham Green Party was part of that. So then I went to lots of meetings and we actually created a Rotherham Green Party ourselves, so that then somebody could vote Green. And then I ended up, yes, voting for myself, because I stood as for a local position.
Cut out the middleman,
just vote Green, vote for myself. But yeah, very sort of small grassroots organisation that, you know, I mean, they're a lovely set of people that are building. So it ultimately, it is you've got to build that momentum and build that growth. So that's what the Rotherham Party are doing now. And now I've moved to Sheffield, very, very different in that, you know, they are in power with the council at the moment, you know. So they've been doing a marvellous job of holding people to account and really putting that green voice out there. And I actually took a step back, mainly due to pregnancy. Actually, I had a difficult pregnancy the second time round, and it just took the wind out of my sails, really. But since then, you know, my youngest it's been a whirlwind, obviously, but I thoroughly enjoy it. And now is the time for me to jump back in and try and get into some sort of positions in politics.
So can I ask, because I was looking back before this interview on kind of how the 2018 election had gone, and at the time it was called the Sheffield City Region, now the South Yorkshire mayoral election, but at the time the Greens finished fifth with 7.8% of the vote. But as you've just said, since then there's been quite a considerable amount of progress for the party, particularly in Sheffield. Taking all of that in the round, I mean, what do you see as your chances this time, and what for you would be success in this election?
If I'm completely honest, I already feel like I am bringing success to this, because one of my main aims and my core values is to actually try and get more women in power. I absolutely think that is the right way to go. There needs to be more balance. And I feel that I'm the right person that can bring that about, mainly because of the roles that I've had in technology, in that I do work in a very male-dominated environment at the moment. So I feel that that's something I can bring to the team, really. But as far as, chances, I'm sticking around for a while now, so we'll see what happens. And I would be very, very pleased if I got in. I'm hoping that we can build on what we did last time. But there's definitely an appetite, I think, from people that I've been speaking to. There's a lot of unrest with the two major parties, and I think that it's a real good opportunity for people to vote Green. Mm-hmm. If you want Green, vote Green. That's what it is.
And because it's a slightly different to, I was going to say, normal election, but in that there's a first and second preference as well, isn't there, that people almost have two bites of the cherry in some ways, don't they, for who they want to vote for in this particular election?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And if people like, what we're saying, and they like the manifesto that we're going to put out there, do put the Green vote as the first preference. There's no harm in that whatsoever. And it would be absolutely brilliant to get some difference in those sort of higher roles. Let's see what the Greens can do. I'd be gunning for it.
So can I ask, if you were elected, how would you kind of seek to do the role, and what kind of policies would you be aiming to implement?
It's a really good question, actually, because I think that unless you're in it, you don't know yet, ultimately. I have a good idea in my head of how I'd approach that. And I think that going to lots of meetings with people, in April we've got 5 or 6, maybe 7 hustings lined up. So just sort of talking to people and getting to understand what is needed. As I say, we've got our manifesto that's coming together, and we've got a really good idea of what we'd want to do, such as, looking at housing, jobs and skills, and transport. But ultimately, there's a few things that we could do straight away that we know are a given, that are needed, such as the bus franchising that Dan Jarvis has had a lot of pressure put on him for, quite rightly, in my opinion. So that there are some real tangible things that we can go in straight away to do. But actually, I want to open that up to more conversation rather than consultation, because as soon as people hear consultation, it's like, oh, you're not really listening to what we're saying. I really want to open conversations with people to see what we need to do. And then when I'm in it, I'll understand how it all works, and then I can actually make some change and progress it, basically. I know I've witnessed a few of the meetings that happen already, and I had to be told to put my hand down because I wanted to get involved straight away. I think that, you've got to be in it and understand it to influence it.
And can I ask you, we kind of briefly touched on it, very briefly touched on it earlier, kind of the cost of living crisis that's affecting so many people at the moment. What can you do at kind of the local mayoral level on issues like that?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. And actually, there is a lot that we can do. So if we talk to maybe the housing side of things. So actually, there's a lot of, I found out recently that the house I'm living in at the minute, in a temporary place, is going to be knocked down and rebuilt. And the building regulations don't stipulate that it has to be anywhere near any green regulations at all. So that's one of the first things that we could do, is actually really put some traction into retrofitting homes and giving good insulation, because a lot of that is not, it's still not done. You know, it's been on the radar for a long time, but we've not actually gained much traction and done more of it. So, you know, insulation of homes is absolutely critical that we can push and influence. And also looking at the EcoSprong approach, which is basically how to insulate it from, you know, blocks of buildings. So that there's technology out there that we can use that has been used, yeah, you know, in Germany and all over. So, you know, let's bring that into the UK and why not start in South Yorkshire? And also putting more into the solar energy as well. So again, I know a friend at work that would love to have solar panels, but they're hanging on because there may be the next step, you know, the next new technology that will be better. Mm. And if somebody said to them, you can go and have a subsidy for this, they'd do it straight away. So there is appetite for that the government can pay into and you know, there's money in budget there to do that.
And can I ask about something that your kind of mission statement on the Green Party website says that you're against, but there's calls from seems to be largely Conservative MPs as a way of, they would argue, addressing some of the energy problems, which is fracking. Which is obviously a huge issue in Yorkshire because there's so many sites in Yorkshire, including Rotherham, that had kind of been mooted as sites for fracking. Can you just explain why are you against it? And I presume you don't accept kind of the arguments they're making that this would help us sort of reduce our reliance on Russian gas and thereby help reduce the cost of living to some extent.
Yeah, absolutely. Because ultimately, we need to keep our fossils in the ground. That's the ultimate issue there. However, it doesn't actually, it may well in the shorter term reduce our gas, you know, for importing it in, it may well reduce that. But actually reducing at the core, such as insulating our homes and changing the energy, that's the way to go. And as far as fracking goes, it is so unsafe, and you can only, you only see that through, I mean, some people might not have seen it, but that I saw a program on how it's affected in America, and the just decimation of the environment that fracking causes is just unsustainable. You know, it should not be the way to go, and ultimately it's not tackling the root cause. It's just trying to put a plaster over it. So for me, we need to be looking at different things. And I know that hydrogen has been talked about as well. And Greens advocate green hydrogen over blue. But even then, it's a longer term. It is definitely a slow burn. It's a longer term approach. So the shorter term is to get the technology that's already out there working for us.
Can I ask just on that, because it has just struck me really when we've been speaking. I mean, how worried are you about climate change and kind of the way things are heading at the minute? Because it feels like obviously we had COP26 a few months ago, although it feels a lot longer ago. It feels like there is growing awareness of the issues, but there seems to kind of be a lack of action in terms of seeing things being any different in our day-to-day lives at the minute.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the worry is there for me. And I've been on a number of meetings where one of our local councillors actually fed back from COP26. And he was so eloquent in actually giving us hope. So ultimately, the climate is changing now. There's no two ways about that. It's evident with the floods that we've had recently, with the lovely, gorgeous, sunny weather that we've now got. You know, it is, the evidence is there. It's now just trying to get more momentum and people really campaigning for that. And ultimately, in my opinion, I mean, I'm going to say this because I'm standing in a political space, we have to get the right people in power to then force some of those changes into our daily lives. And it's not about making us poorer either, because I think that there's this general feeling that if we go greener, it's going to cost us more. Ultimately, it isn't. The investments that are already out there for the technology, because I'm, you know, in technology myself, I love a gadget, I love technology. There's so much out there in the energy sector, in the housing sector, you know, and skills, we need to bring that in to sort of say, come in and use these bits of technology. And ultimately, it'll make it cheaper for us and save the planet at the same time. So for me, it just works.
Yeah.
So we have to get the right people in power to make sure that they're pushing the right things.
That's fantastic. And there was just one other thing that I wanted to ask you about, because I was having a look at your Twitter account just before this interview. And I think it was a week or so ago that you mentioned that you were, I think, was it to do with LGBTQ plus day or an awareness day? Yeah. And you mentioned that you're standing for election, obviously, but you're proud to be pansexual. Could you tell me a little bit about that, and B, why you decided to go public about it? I don't know whether you'd sort of been public about it before kind of those tweets.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, Chris. I think it's a really important thing to talk about, because ultimately it was a surprising thing for me, because it was a real journey. And actually, with this journey of, you know, going green and you know, just exploring who I am, I then got challenged or talked to about, you know, some other people that I'd met, and really understanding what pansexuality is. It's about the connection that you have with people rather than it being about gender. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't even know until, you know, about a year ago now. And it just felt really warm and fuzzy to know where I belonged, you know, like to have a label to say, this is what I am. And I think it's so important to have that identity. And for me, I was just bowled over, and my parents were just like, well that's cool. And, you know, it's just one of those things. And so accepted. So the reason I went public about that is because I am loud, I am proud, but I'm also really kind as well. So what I did do is actually consult the LGBTQA+ community and said, you know, there's this history coming up. What do you want to see from a candidate? Mm. And a lot of them said personal, if you can, because why not? You know, why not be loud and proud about who we are as people? So I think it's really important.
And what was kind of the reaction from friends and family and political colleagues like when you've been telling them? And I mean, obviously people will have seen the tweets, but I presume you've told people face to face before that and things like that.
Yeah absolutely. I mean, in conversations that it came up, as I mentioned, you know, my folks, it was just such a natural thing for them, really, that they not that, I mean, actually my dad was like, well, what's that? So, you know, I just explained it, and he's like, oh, that's all right. And then we had a great conversation over a beer, and it was really pleasant. I think in some other, you know, some other areas, certainly my dad then went away, I think, and thought about it and said, you know, putting that out publicly, I can see why it might cause a bit of a rift, really. And I think that it's because times are changing, and it's because in order to have more acceptance and inclusivity about what we do, we need to be able to stand and say, well, this is who I am, and not hide. And I think that it doesn't always go down well, but I'm really glad that I can have that space and have the privilege to be able to say that.
And I guess that has a really nice parallel to your political journey too, that kind of personal journey of discovery and then not just acceptance, but then acting on it and you know, moving forward with it, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly felt brilliant to be in my own skin and, you know, be able to still pursue a political career. So I am, I'm chuffed a bit, to be honest.
Well, look, thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the campaign and all the Hustings events that are coming up soon, and hope to speak to you soon.
Lovely. Thanks, Chris.
No worries. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pod's Own Country. If you have any topics you think we should be covering or any stories you think we should be digging into, please get in touch with me via email, chris.byrne@jpimedia.co.uk. Speak next week.